We like to know what time it is. We want to be told what's coming and when it's coming so we can be ready. But we might not want to get ready any time before it's necessary. My parents, they get ready for a trip about a month ahead of time. We're packing the night before. The Scriptures tell us that we will not know what time He is coming. So keep awake. Keep awake. It will be like the days of Noah. He will come like a thief in the night. Therefore, you must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. These are the words that usher in this new year, this new season of Advent. A season that begins with expectation, anticipation, waiting and watching, but most importantly, preparing. I don't think we're very good at being patient and waiting. I know I'm not very good at it. There's so many demands that we have in our lives. We're so scheduled out, right? Everything is bam, 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 bam. There's no time. If we are waiting, the first thing that comes to my mind is it's wasted. Wasted time. But my wife is quick to tell me that maybe it's not wasted time. In fact, maybe I need to spend a little bit more time wasting time with God. Maybe I need to carve out some time with God. And that time's not productive in the way that we think it's productive. She reminds me in her latest blog that she posted, if any of you all saw it, that there's great value in the discipline of waiting. It's not unproductive time. It's essential time. She went out to the bayfront to see that biggest, brightest moon of our lifetime, right? Did any of you all go out there to look at it? Yeah, she waited. I wasn't with her. She waited patiently, hopefully, expectantly for that giant ball of light to rise off of our beautiful bayfront, only to be thwarted by a thick cloud bank that was on the horizon. If it were me, I would have left immediately and said, let's go do something else. But she, in her hopefulness, in her expectancy, stayed there, wanting to see something good, wanting to see, okay, if I didn't see the initial light, maybe I would see the light that rose above those clouds. Certainly, if I waited here long enough, something good would happen. The time of waiting, this act of waiting, is fertile time. It's productive. It's generative. It's filled with hope, expectation. We don't wait on something that is not impossible. We don't wait on something that is unrewarding. We wait because it's worth it. We wait because it gives us a reward. Not only is the reward worth the wait, but something happens. We realize that there is an unexpected blessing in the process of waiting. That in the discipline of preparing ourselves, we begin to see in a new way something that we didn't know was there. Our perspective changes. We begin to see something beautiful coming into view. Something that's filled with hope. The Christian hope. The Christian hope defines our lives. Scripture tells us that hope is that gift that doesn't disappoint. because God has poured out His love into our hearts. Our lives are defined by hope, not in something that is bad and not in something that's impossible, but something that is coming and will be fulfilled. God, as Elizabeth sat and gazed into that night sky, wondering and waiting, she began to see something new, something she didn't expect, a canvas of light in the sky, defined by these clouds and the light shining through them. The clouds that were concealing the light painted a picture of glory, painted a picture of hope, of encouragement, of expectation, that the light was there all along and it was coming. The clouds became the harbingers of this light, the harbingers of hope, the harbingers of encouragement. They affirmed the presence of the light, even though that she didn't see the source of it. Isn't that how we go about life? Seeing glimpses of God, glimpses of His light, shining forth through the darkness of our own lives. Taking encouragement as we can along the way, knowing that we aren't seeing it fully, but one day we will. Knowing that His glory will one day fully be revealed. That beautiful prologue of John's Gospel says the light shines in the darkness. That light of Christ shines into the darkness of our lives. Yes, and the darkness could not overcome it, could not hold it at bay, could not keep it from shining through. Our lives are like this. We wait in the shadow of the clouds, wondering, hoping, expecting that light to break through. It does. He will. We don't know on what day or what hour our Lord is coming, but we know deep in our bones that Jesus is present in the act of waiting. He is present to us when we pay attention, when we watch, when we're looking for Him. Not when we say, I can't wait any longer. I'm not wasting my time. I'm not looking for something that doesn't exist. We won't see Him. We won't feel Him. We won't know Him. We're not looking for just some finality at the end of time that we may not be alive to see one day. We're looking today and tomorrow because we know that He's present. He's present to us when we're willing and actively going deeper than the surface of our lives, creating time and space to wait. Wasting some time with God. The world is saying we don't have time to waste. Not even with God. And so we miss God along the way. I submit to you that our whole journey in life is an active process of preparing ourselves, waiting and watching to meet Christ again. And we meet Him. And we meet Him again. We meet Him in baptism. And we meet Him every day that we invite Him into our lives again. As we serve Him and seek Him. As Paul says in Romans, you know, this is a journey. Our salvation is nearer to us today than when we first became believers. It's not just we don't consume this salvation like a pill. It's a relationship like a marriage that we go down the road together. We're growing deeper and nearer to Him each and every day in this mortal life. But we have to lay aside those works of darkness, right? Lay aside the things that we know that we're doing that interfere and cloud the light. Keep the light at bay in our lives. We know we're doing things that keep the light at bay. And it's always rebelling against one another. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and cast away the works of darkness. He names a few of these items. We know what they are. We could come up with a big list of them. You know, Paul says licentiousness, debauchery, drunkenness, jealousy. We could say lying, cheating, stealing, self-medicating our pain away, staying distracted so that we don't have to encounter reality, avoiding the truth, not carving out time to wait around for God or anything else because we're too busy, resentment, pride, all kinds of things. Whatever those things are in our own lives that are clouding the light of Christ, that are keeping that light at bay, forsaking behaviors that separate us from that light and life. Our life is a journey. It's a journey of preparation. We are pointing, our lives are pointing to Christ each and every day. Like Noah building the ark. Think about Noah building the ark on dry land. It hadn't rained in 1,000 years. How crazy is that? How silly is that? What a waste of time and resources. You can come up with a million reasons why that was a stupid idea. But God, Noah's life wasn't about living today in the moment. It was about living for a day that God had promised. Living a life of faithfulness. He built it for the day that the Lord had promised. And his life was a picture of faithful preparation and trustful and hopeful expectation. And he was rewarded in the end. Of course he looked foolish, and I'm sure he took, you know, the people looked at him like he was foolish, he felt foolish, but his heart was fixed on something much bigger, much more eternal. And that's what our lives are like. God says, you know, fix your eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. On that which we know is true. Because what is seen is temporary. You're going to build your whole life around something that's temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And that is where our hope is. And that's where our lives are headed. Amen.